Leaders' Questions today concentrated, among other things, on the cost of living. Let's hear what Mary Lou McDonald brought up at that.
David says, my car insurance just shot up by €200. No crash, no claim, no change, just a random slap in the face because the company feels like it. Fiona told us, €9 for a bottle of shampoo that used to cost €4.50. These price hikes are an absolute joke. And Susan said, it's getting impossible to keep the head above water. Everything except our income is going up, and it's killing us.
And the Taoiseach had this to say in reply.
Consumer price inflation has eased back significantly from where it was over the past 2 years. Annual average inflation of 1.3% was recorded in 2024. That compares with 5.2% in 2023 and 8.1% in 2022. The latest data shows inflation at about 2% in April. That's the target rate of inflation used by the European Central Bank. But notwithstanding the easing of the rate of inflation, the price level remains elevated, and we're very, very conscious of that. And our agenda and objective in the budget when it comes in the autumn will be, again, to provide within the social protection payment programme and in terms of taxation to do what we can to alleviate the pressures on people.
All right, we're going to get into discussion of a bill that was voted down in the Dáil this evening, which would potentially enhance workers' ability to raise their own wages in collective bargaining. But a bit of an edge to that exchange in Leaders' Questions today, Elaine.
Yes, and I think Mary Lou McDonald, Sinn Féin leader, raising the cost of living again after numerous ministers have come out at this stage under questioning, have said no, there won't be a cost of living package of once-off measures this year, that we're gone beyond this, you know, rapid inflationary cycle, that inflation has come down, and you heard it from the Taoiseach there in the Dáil today, and I think they're obviously admitting on the government side that yes, okay, some products are going up more than others, and I think you look at the likes of dairy, and I think even from my own experience in the supermarket, it does seem like things have gone up a lot, even just this year. So there is the pressure there, but I think the government is staying firm and saying that no, this does not, at the moment anyway, merit a once-off measures like we've seen, firstly during COVID, but certainly during that cost of living 2 year crisis. And I think maybe it is because the government is also looking down the line at tariffs, which we're getting, edging closer to that July cutoff point where we have to have some sort of a deal with the Trump administration and the EU. And if that has knock-on effects on the economy here, would the government even be able to afford once-off measures that they've been handing out in recent years?
Right, and the point consistently made, anytime the cost of living comes up, of course, the remuneration of junior ministers.
Yes, of course, and I suppose from the opposition's side of the house, it's probably an easy one to throw back at government. But you're right, this was the one controversy that initially erupted at the very start of this Dáil term, and then obviously spiralled into other issues. We had Lowrygate and a few other tit-for-tat experiences and rows since. But I have to say, overall, and I think my colleagues here on the panel tonight will probably agree, it's been a pretty quiet start to the Dáil term. Right. We've had a few controversies, but not so many. Okay. Not as many as journalists would like, anyway.
The issue of hip dysplasia operations came up yesterday at Leaders' Questions. We had a pretty extensive discussion on it on the programme last night. But run us through and briefly what the exchanges were like in the Dáil today and what we learned in terms of the number of letters that were sent out.
And we've since got confirmation that 2,200 letters have been sent out to parents on this issue, and they go back almost a decade at this stage. So 1,757 letters sent out in relation to surgeries carried out in Temple Street and Crumlin, and then a further 503 that were carried out at Kappa. The Taoiseach was under pressure again today, second day in a row on this issue, so doesn't seem to be something that the opposition is willing to let go of. And I think that comes as a result of many worried parents contacting members of the opposition, and I imagine members of government as well.
Yeah. James Gagan was on with us last night. He said a parent in his constituency had contacted him about it as well.
Yes, yeah. And there were accusations of the Taoiseach misleading the Dáil over this, about why these letters are sent out, the reason for them, whether it was media reports or whether they should receive ongoing care or ongoing attention and follow-up referrals and appointments. But we do have that clarification tonight around the exact number. So at least we do have, as I said, further clarity on that.
OK, we'll move on. The trade union bill, it was introduced by People Before Profit. We'll bring in the panel on this as well. What's it designed to do before we talk about the merits and demerits of the proposal, notwithstanding the fact that the bill has now been voted down?
Yeah, and this is something that People Before Profit have been very strong on, not just in this Dáil term, but in previous Dáil terms. And what they had been calling for as a group was that employers would be obliged to recognise unions. Now, at the moment, workers can join a union, but it's voluntary as to whether your firm, the company you're employed by, or your employer does actually recognise that union, especially in relation to collective bargaining and pay negotiations. The government had decided that it was not going to vote in favour of this bill. It raised a number of issues, including the fact that it may be unconstitutional. But also in the Dáil today, we heard from a number of government representatives saying that the system as it stands now, this voluntary system, has worked, has served us well, I think was a quote that Paul Murphy picked up on, particularly in his reaction in the Dáil today, and also has given us, I suppose, the competitive edge when it comes to luring companies in or luring employment. Now, on the flip side of that, what People Before Profit and some of the other members of the opposition were saying is, really, this has served one part of the staff-employer relationship well, and that's very much those who are employing people, large companies and businesses over the years, but has not protected low-paid workers.
OK. Pa Daly, your party contested the last general election with a commitment to introduce a legislative right to collective bargaining. Is this what you had in mind, that employers would be compelled to negotiate with trade unions where one was organised in the workplace?
Yeah, well, in short, yes, we support this bill. And you know, I worked as a solicitor for many years, and when people used to come into my office who felt who had been, you know, treated very unfairly at work, invariably they were in a workplace that didn't have any trade union representation. And I thought it was very strange to say that it was unconstitutional. I don't know where they got that legal advice from. I understand that the SOC Dems had alternative legal advice to say that.
This is under Article 40 of the Constitution. We'll just give the listeners the benefit of what it says, and they can mull over the wording of it. It says the state guarantees liberty for the exercise of the following rights subject to public order and morality: the rights of the citizens to form associations and unions. And then it goes on to say laws, however, may be enacted for the regulation and control in the public interest of the exercise of the foregoing right.
Yeah, and I don't think it's in the public interest that usually people who are in lower paid jobs, such as retail, healthcare, that they are unable to collectively gather together to ensure that there's a level playing field. That's all we're looking for, a bit of fairness. And I remember when I was in Kerry County Council, we wanted to ensure that anyone who was providing contracts to the council, that they committed to allowing representation in. And Kerry County Council...
How did you get on with that? Did you get on with that proposal?
It was voted down by most members of the council. But I thought the interesting thing was that the council management produced legal opinion from a solicitor's firm who on the front page of their website said hiring and firing an employer's guide was the legal advice.
Right. Not the solicitor's firm you worked for.
No, it wasn't. Right, it was a Dublin firm. But well, we have always supported this. We have a similar bill in the north that we can have consistency across the island. But it's simply about looking after the underpaid workers.
Richard O'Donoghue, did you vote on the bill tonight?
I did.
And if so, how did you vote?
I voted in favour of it, because for rights for people that are in low-paid jobs, 100%. But I have also concerns about... I'd like to see this go to committee and be teased out, from the point of view of a tier system for this, from the point of view of small-time employment, depends on turnovers and things like that. Then you go to international, whether they're high employers, whether it be contracts, whether they're multinationals. It needs to be something that has a tier system that it can recognise within small businesses, within other areas. So you do have a lot of areas where you mightn't have a small business that's running on a very, very tight margins, where the people that are going into the work that are there at the moment might be used to going to college, it might be just a small local right. business.
But notwithstanding all of that, you did support the bill tonight.
Oh, I did, but I'd like to see it in the committee, and I'd like to see it being teased out to make sure it's a tier system that it actually reflects all of the employers and all of the employees as well.
All right, John Connolly, it has been voted down. could you maybe explain to people what is the unconstitutional nature of the proposal? I mean, it seems to say that the rights to organise as part of a trade union can be regulated in the public interest, but it's not quite clear how allowing people or compelling employers to negotiate with the trade union is in breach of that article by the wording I've just read.
Well, I think
out.
There was a court decision around the issue previously where it was challenged, and it was found that there were constitutional issues that had arisen. I think it was a Supreme Court decision, actually. And I suppose if you read the terms of the constitutional article that it's referring to, allowing people the right to associate in organisations, you'd have to say that there probably is the reciprocal right as well, that people, maybe shouldn't be compelled to participate in such organisations. So there's another aspect to the bill, I think, that is, which is already catered for in legislation, that the bill sought to prohibit dismissal on the grounds of associating with a trade union. It would be seen as unfair dismissal if that happens, and that's already catered for in legislation. And I think it's important to say that the government have published a public consultation trying to establish, sound basis for delivery of collective bargaining.
All right,
there's no obligation on anyone to join a union. You can join it if you wish or if you don't wish to join it, but it's a clear which side are you on type of an argument here, and it's clear that the government have been pulling back from more rights for workers, from the living wage, from pension enrolment and the sick pay, expansion of the sick pay scheme that they had previously indicated that they would do. And it seems that, people are having a word in their ear, lobbyists, and they're going along with what the big employers want.
All right.
I don't accept that there's any pullback. I mean, look, the government are 3 or 4 months into their term. Many of the pieces of legislation that they hope to enact will be done so over coming years. We still, I think, have one of the highest minimum wages in Europe. And I think you'd have to reflect as well that we have the industrial relations history of the country is a very positive one. We haven't seen extended periods where, there are disputes between employers and employees and over an extended basis. And there are provisions within legislation for such industrial disputes. There are resolution mechanisms. And we've also had a very proud tradition of the country of social partnership. So I think we're taking a sledgehammer to crack a nut here, to be honest. And I think we have the basis to...
Richard, one of the aspects of the bill was a criminal sanction for people who refused to negotiate with trade unions. Would you support that?
A criminal? I don't think I would. From the point of view is anything that can be opened up is opened up by dialogue. And if you look at an awful lot of employers across this country, most of them open up by dialogue. Most of them, any of those, have already got union representatives within their bodies as it is. And you first thing you open up by dialogue, saying that there's to be a criminal if you don't do it, no. And if you look at on the basis of what Paul Murphy brought today, they were looking for a percentage. So I think it was 25%. 20 or 25% that they were looking at. That to me, like, if you look at anything within the dollar, it's a majority. So would you not think that you'd actually look for 50% or 60% of the employees that they wanted to do something rather than 25%? Why not put in something logical which you can actually work, where you actually have the majority of the people feel disgruntled from that point of view rather than putting in such a low percentage?
All right. There was reference made, though, to the European Directive on the Adequacy of the Minimum Wage during the debate. And it was pointed out that the government voted in favour of the Adequacy of the Minimum Wage Directive and yet hadn't transposed it as yet into Irish law. And one of the aims of that directive is to ensure a greater rate of collective bargaining in countries. So, I mean, John Connolly, are you aware of why the government voted in favour of this and yet has so far failed to transpose it into Irish law?
Well, I suppose why the government would have voted in favour of it, because they see it as being appropriate. Possibly, as Richard said earlier on, the legislative process in terms of implementation, it has to go through committee. I suppose they have to publish legislation on the issue firstly. But I think, you know, the government obviously voted in favour of something because they support it. And we do support a strong minimum wage, and we do want to see workers being well represented and workers having rights that are respected by employers.
Yeah, all right. John mentioned the proud history, but I think that the government are watering this down. It's clear that the programme for government, the legislative programme, they don't make any reference to transposing the directive, and it has become watered down. I think that the government are falling down on the William Martin Murphy side of history rather than any other side.
No, I don't accept that. I mean, I think that, you know, the proud history exists, and the proud history of social partnership in the country exists. And as I said...
What about sick pay and paternity leave and those kind of things that have been... sick pay in particular that's been put on hold. I mean, would you include that in the proud history?
Well, I think the government did change the parameters on sick pay during the term of the last government and extended the rights of citizens to further sick pay days. And there may be further issues that we need to look at into the future on that. But certainly, there's no watering down of anything here. We respect the rights of employees to join trade unions. We have published a public consultation on the collective bargaining process. And there is a proud tradition of social partnership in the country. And there also are many different mechanisms through which disputes are resolved. Labour Relations Commission, Workplace Relations Commission and the Labour Court. In those settings, fair and impartial decisions are made.
All right. I think Elaine Ruth Coppinger raised during the course of that debate that the proportion of unionised workers now were it was a growing proportion of them because of the retreat in the private sector, were in the public sector, and a growing proportion are women as well. So there was clearly concern amongst the people for profit who introduced this bill about the state of affairs that's there at the moment.
Yeah, and I think a number of very high profile, well known companies as well. We're not just talking about, as it was mentioned on the panel here, about, you know, small companies that might be struggling in general. We're talking about very large, very well-known international companies, or internationally known companies, certainly, that just don't recognise unions when it comes to collective bargaining or when it comes to listening to any quibbles or qualms that their staff may have. But just even to go back to what John said about not watering down things, you know, and I think, Pa, you raised it, you know, we've had... already, and we're only a few months into the lifetime of this government, the sick days, that will not be extended. Now, we know that. That's a certainty. The auto-enrolment to pensions has been delayed, and the living wage, again, that was a commitment due to be introduced next year. That will be put on the long finger again. So they are measures that I think businesses will probably be jumping up and down in delight about, but low-paid workers, certainly around the living wage, will not be happy about.
All right. Just we will text in from a listener just on the first clips we played there. We may have a high minimum wage, but we also have one of the highest costs of living in the EU, says John in Tremor, who is responding both to the cost of living issue and to what we're talking about there. By the way, if listeners want to get in touch with what they see as the worst of the price hikes that they've experienced in the shopping trolley, which aren't getting any cheaper anytime soon, you can text us on 515551, or you can get us on 0870 32 32 32. But